this is Don Bluth, and you're listening to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers.
You're listening to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, episode 57, Best of 2013 Show, with Rotoscopers Awards. Welcome to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers. Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar, Don Bluth, and everything in between. We are your hosts. My name is Chelsea Robson, along with my faithful companion, Morgan Stradling.
Well, thank you. You make me sound like a little puppy.
Let's go, Morgan. Welcome to the best of 2013.
Woohoo!
This is exciting. One more year down, many more to go.
Many, many more to go. So this show is a show that we do every year. Well, I mean, we've done it 2 years so far. And basically, it is a best of show of the best moments, the best lines, the best quotes, the best discussions that we had on the Animation Addicts podcast in 2013. Basically, it's just a fun time to kick back and look back at what we've done, what we've covered, what we've talked about, and just enjoy it all in one episode. So if you didn't listen to any of the episodes all year, you just listen to this one, you'd be fine. Not really.
It would tell you which ones to really go back and make sure you don't miss.
True.
This year we covered great movies like A Goofy Movie, Little Mermaid, Mulan, The Adventures of Tintin, Toy Story 2, we did Planes, we did Howl's Moving Castle, Tinkerbell, How to Train Your Dragon, Rise of the Guardians, Robin Hood, Monsters University, Pokemon, The Thief and the Cobbler, more interviews. We did Meet the Robinsons, Tiny Toons, The Incredible Snow White, Corpse Bride, Charlie Brown Halloween / Christmas Special, Mary Poppins, Frozen, and Rudolph.
So there's quite a range in there. We cover big studios. Well, they're all basically big studios. We do animated feature films, so you have to be pretty big to get to that point. But some are very popular films and some not so popular films.
But today we're going to be covering as well the first annual Rotoscopers Awards.
So the Rotoscopers Awards, for those of you who don't know, this was a poll that we did on the website for the entire month of December. We ended it on December 30th because that's the day that we're recording this episode. And so it's an awards that we are giving to the best animated films and people of 2013. And it's all you, the listeners and readers of rotoscopers.com. You guys get to decide. It's not like I am the person who just picked all of these winners. It's a collective thing. So let's get right into it, all right? There were 15 questions, and we had a total of 673 responses, so not too shabby. So let's jump right into the first one. All right, so let's start with the best animated short of 2013. Chelsea, who do you think won with 60% of the votes?
Let's see, with 60% of the votes, I'm going to say is Get a Horse.
You're right. Ding, ding, ding. Get a Horse.
Woohoo.
So congratulations to Get a Horse. Second place with 23% of the votes was The Blue Umbrella. So it wasn't really the best year for Pixar. In even the big, you know, the real award shows, the Golden Globes, the Oscars, The Blue Umbrella seems to be getting shafted a little bit. It didn't even get nominated for any of those, which was pretty sad. But Get a Horse is definitely a contender, so in 2014 we'll find out to see if it really wins. But congratulations to Get a Horse and the whole team. 60% of us thought you were awesome. Okay, next category, Best Animated TV Show / TV Special. This winner has 46% of the votes. And it's Toy Story of Terror.
Yay!
Not too unexpected right there. Second place was Legend of Korra Book 2 with 16% of the votes. And in third place with 15% of the votes was Disney's Gravity Falls. So congratulations, Toy Story. You will find out, Chelsea, as I'm reading these, our fans love Disney and Pixar.
Yeah.
Just prepping you for what's to come. So our next category, best voice acting in an animated feature. The winner with 46% of the votes goes to Kristen Bell as Anna.
Congratulations, Kristen.
Category 5, best animated sidekick of 2013. Who do you think that is?
I'm going to say Olaf.
Ding, ding, ding. It's Olaf, 67%. Now, second place was the Minions with 15%, and Art from Monsters University actually came in third place with 10%. Personally, when I voted for these, because I'm like, hey, I'm a reader and a listener, I get a vote too, I voted Belt from The Croods, because I thought he was hilarious. He was so funny. But unfortunately, he only got 5% of the votes.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Category 6, breakout character of 2013 with 80% of the votes. This person has captivated our hearts and wallets.
I'm going to go with Elsa.
Elsa from Frozen. Yes, yes, yes. Ding, ding, ding.
We're not biased at all.
No, not at all. I mean, we are the site that had Frozember of all things. Okay, so obviously our fans like Frozen. They're fans of Frozen. And they vote for Frozen. So, just saying. You know what to expect for the next one. Number 7, best villain. So, I didn't include the villains' names because some of these movies, they had secret villains or villains that you discovered throughout. So I just said Frozen's villains, Epic villain, Turbo's villain, Despicable Me 2's villain, Claudio the Chance of Meatball 2 villain.
Perfect.
Who do you think?
I'm going to go with Frozen's.
Frozen's villain, 78%, took the cake. So if you haven't seen Frozen yet, shame on you, unless it hasn't come out in your country yet. It's so good, you have to go see it.
Yes.
And I love Frozen's villain. All right. Category 8, best song. This is another sweeping the awards ceremony. I'm not even going to try to tease it. With 78% of the votes, Let It Go, performed by Idina Menzel. Category 9, best score. Where do you think this is going?
Well, let me tell you what I would say was best score.
Okay.
I think... of all the ones that came out this year, I really liked, who was it? Well, yeah, Frozen.
Well, I really liked Monster University. I thought that score was really cool. It was very collegiate and had a very unique feel to it because it was set in a college university environment. And I just thought it was very memorable. Chelsea will disagree. If you listen to our Monsters University, she thinks it's a very bland score. But I think that's the case for this score that got number one, 81% of the votes, Frozen. I personally think that Frozen's score was a bit generic for me, but that's just me. Everyone else disagrees. 81% of you say yes, Frozen, best score, hands down. So congratulations, Frozen. Christoph Beck. Bravo.
Bravo.
Okay, so number 10, best quote or line in an animated film of 2013. What do you think the winner was? And this was not always the winner, for I looked 2 weeks in, and there was another quote that won, but this quote came back and stole the show.
What were some of the options?
So the six that I had was Professor Bamba from Epic. He says, just because you haven't seen something doesn't mean it's not there. Mike from Monsters University says, I found a nickel. Sure wish I had pockets. Gru from Despicable Me 2 says, we need to revisit the number of vacation days you guys get. Olaf from Frozen says, it's so cute. It's like a little baby unicorn. And the last one, six, was a bunch of other people could type in what they wanted. But number five was Anna saying, this is awkward. Not that you're awkward, just that I'm awkward. You're gorgeous. Wait, what? So what do you think was the winner?
Oh, my. I would say of those listed, I would have gone with the... Well, honestly, if my write-in, can I do my write-in?
So that's not the winner.
Well, my write-in would definitely be Olaf saying, look, I've been impaled. I liked that one. Or no, there was another really funny one. She's like, how was I supposed to know the reason why she always wore gloves? I just thought she had a thing with dirt. Those were my favorites. But I'm going to go with Anna. That would be my guess.
Your guess is wrong.
Oh,
it's Olaf, baby unicorn. The Anna quote was up there with 31% of the votes, but Olaf unicorn stole the show with 35%.
Stole the show.
Some other funny ones that people mentioned in the write-in section was, the sky's awake, so I'm awake. Just baby Anna from Frozen.
Oh, that's cute. She's such a cutie.
The Croods, dun, dun, dun. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Some people are worth melting for. Olaf from Frozen. Art from Monsters University. I have an extra toe. Not with me, of course. Thought that was pretty funny. Some other ones. The he's crazy.
Yeah,
Olaf.
That one's good.
And another one from Art. I can't go back to jail.
I loved Art.
He was great. He was tied for third. Breakout character. So,
nice.
Or sidekick, excuse me. All right, number 11, best marketing campaign.
I would say Monsters University.
Ding, 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 Monsters University with 43% of the votes. And I'm really glad Monsters University won for this because Monsters University had a really clever ad campaign. They had this fake university website and it got hacked by a rival school. And then they sent out, you know, fake alumni newsletters to real people. Like, I got one of those, which was really cool. And Frozen, we've talked a lot about Frozen's marketing. I mean, it took a different twist where they focused more on the ancillary sidekick goofy characters instead of the plot initially, and then they kind of shifted that after the fact. I didn't see it very revolutionary. I didn't like the Olaf heaviness of it, so... Neither did our readers and listeners. 43% said Monsters University was better. And I really, really liked the way everything Monsters University did. All right, number 12, best animated movie trailer. I think this is no question with 60% of the votes. Frozen, for the first time in forever trailer, also known by fans as the Elsa trailer.
Yes.
That one was so good. All right, so Best Animation Addicts podcast episode.
Ooh, this is exciting.
Yes, so with 48% of the votes, what do you think it is?
Well, I'm just going to go with Frozen here.
Frozen, you're right. I don't necessarily know if that was our best episode. I really liked Robin Hood. I thought that was a funny, funny episode. So Robin Hood was third place with 12%, and The Incredibles got 14%, second place. And that was our episode where we had Pablo Ruiz, one of our writers, on, and that was really one of the best episodes. Really good discussion, so definitely worthy of second place. I think just Frozen, because of the fact that it had the word Frozen in it, people picked it.
Yeah, that's what happens here with Frozember.
So, category 14, best opinion piece on rotoscopers.com. Now, I'm looking at the results, and the winner was not the winner a few weeks ago.
So what were some of the different
options? So some of the articles, and I'll include these in the show notes, are 5 reasons why I'm not excited for Frozen, which was written by Myra. Very controversial, but awesome article because she stated exactly how she felt. And many people felt about Frozen before it came out. Next one by Steven. He says, let's brainstorm the incredible sequel. One by me, 35 Signs You're a Snarky Disney Fan, which was a gift post. Rise of the Guardians, How It Could Have Been Better by Pablo Ruiz. Another one by Pablo, Why Animated Movies Are So Good. Number six is by Gary Wright. It says, Frozen in Time, Disney's adaptation of a literary classic. And the seventh one is a guest post by William Jardine of A113Animation.com, Why Animation is Wrongly Disregarded as Children's Entertainment.
If we're just going to go by comments, Myra's one hands down.
Yes. That was probably our most commented article of all time. I think it's sitting in around 110 plus comments. All kind of upset, but then there's a lot of people defending her, so it's good. It's very controversial, so you should go read it if you haven't. But the winner was actually Gary Wright, Frozen in Time, Disney's adaptation of a literary classic.
Nice.
Yes.
Congratulations, Gary.
Yay, Gary. I'm so excited. Mine, 35 Signs You're a Snarky Disney Fan, was winning for a while, and it was like number one. And I'm not saying this like I'm mad, because I'm like, I don't care. I don't care if you like my article or not. But I'm really, really excited that people like Gary's article, because that article talks about the history of Disney animation and the history of making the Snow Queen into an animated film. It's been a decades-long process, even going back to Walt Disney. So he chronicles that whole thing very nicely, helps you understand the different phases of development it went through, and it's a really good article. So definitely go check it out, because it is our best article of 2013.
Yay, Gary!
All right, second to last question. The most anticipated movie of 2014. What do you think people are most looking forward to? 35%. Inching out the second place by 29%, or at 29%.
My guess is probably, as I go to our handy dandy animation calendar on the website, it's the best thing ever.
Rotoscopers.com/calendar.
What? My guess is going to be a toss up between How to Train Your Dragon 2 or Big Hero 6.
You're correct. Now, which one do you think won?
I'm going to go with Big Hero 6 because we tend to side more on the Disney side, apparently. Though I believe that DreamWorks needs its day in the sun. So we're going to be focusing a lot on DreamWorks, or at least I am.
Well, you are wrong, Chelsea, about really? One of those things. Yes, it is true. DreamWorks does need its time in the sun. And it will get it because 35% of the people said that is their number one most anticipated movie of 2014, followed by Big Hero 6 at number two.
Alrighty then.
Yeah.
You know what we're promoting this year?
Yeah. We're taking hints, guys.
We are
the real Brady Bros.
Brady Brothers from the TV show Brady Bunch. I'm Barry Williams.
And I'm Christopher Knight.
I played Greg. And who were you again?
I played Peter. We've decided that we're going to do a podcast around episodes of the Brady Bunch. We're going to use it as a prism to look back to our experience doing the show and why the Brady Bunch is still popular.
Have a sunshine day.
We are the real Brady Bros.
All right, last question. This is the big finale, the big hurrah, and I think this is going to be no surprise to anyone. Chelsea, what do you think our readers thought was the best animated film of 2013?
Epic! Maybe not. Frozen.
You are correct, madame. 82% of the people thought Frozen was the best animated film. Epic, only 1% thought that was the best. So, of course, 82% of our readers, listeners, voted Frozen as their best animated film of 2013. Epic, on the other hand, only has 1% of the vote.
Dang it!
Nice try, Chelsea. Nice try. I mean, come on. My Little Pony Equestria Girls got more than
really?
Epic. 2%. 2%.
Oh, sad.
Yeah, Frozen, hands down, swept it. I mean, the only closest thing at 5% of the total votes was Monsters University. So I think there's no question that people think that Frozen, hands down, is the best, and I'd have to agree.
I'm going to agree with that. Faux show. All right, folks, this is the time that we've been waiting for. Now we are heading on into the best of 2013. Buckle up, because we are off to the races. I'm going to be throwing clips in here from all of our favorite episodes, random moments you never heard, as well as voicemails, emails, and just a whole lot of fun. So this episode is dedicated to you guys, the fans. So sit back and relax and enjoy the show. Thanks for such a great year, guys.
All right, Chelsea, start.
All right. You're listening to the Rotoscopers podcast. Blah, blah, blah.
Okay, let's get this party started. Mason, you do the intro and make it all clever and funny and Mason-esque. What are you trying to say?
Hold on. Intro.
I see how it is.
No, he just hasn't done. He just hasn't done one in a while.
You're listening to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, episode 39, Rise of the Guardians.
The Guardians of Liberty.
You're listening to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, episode 38, How to Train Your Dragonite. Dragon.
All right, monsters, it's time to break it down for the episode 41 of the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers. My name is Brock Pearson, a tribute to Brock Pearson. And we're here with the Animation Addicts. We got Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar, Tom Bluth, and everything in between. I'd like to introduce my favorite host of all time. He's like the coolest person ever, Mason Smith.
Oh, thank you, Brock Pearson. You're so great.
Yeah, you're the greatest, Mason. And we got two other people. I don't really know what their names are. Chelsea Robson.
Hi.
Dead Morgan Stradley.
Hey, Brock.
How's it going? Okay, the first challenge is I'm going to throw these poison sea urchins at you that glow, and you have to dodge them. Okay, here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Brock, stop. Stop. Brock, come on.
Who invited him?
Like, it's not the really? Scare game. It's not the scare game. It's just it's the podcast.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll just go over here then.
Yeah. Okay, thanks. Boy, that guy's a lot to deal with.
Mm-hmm. That's what happens when you deal with the Greek council.
Oh, my goodness. Or the librarian on campus.
Oh, she's crazy.
Awesome.
She is nuts. Awesome. She will totally throw you out of the building.
When hinges creep in doorless chambers, and Disney quotes echo through the halls, that is the time when the rotoscopers are present, practicing their terror with ghoulish delight. Welcome, welcome, foolish mortals, to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers. Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar, Don Bluth, and everything in between. Come into the dead center of the room, please, for I am your ghost host, Mason Smith.
For those of you who are new to the show, our podcast covers everything in the animation world, news, reviews, and movies. So each episode, we go over the animation news in the week. We also review a movie from the animation library, past or present, and we have a great, grand old time doing it.
Yay!
Yay, we love it!
Awesome.
Oh, how was your week, everyone?
Great. Very great.
Yeah, mine was good too. Oh, hey, Morgan.
Hey, sorry. I don't mute. I was eating as usual.
No problems.
All right. To the open road. Oh, no, no one got my joke.
To the open road. I was eating. I'm sorry.
Of course. Yeah, so he'll be gone for 9 months.
Sounds like what you enjoyed, whatever you were eating.
Crunch.
Well, what? I made my own panini.
Oh. Enjoy away.
You know, he kind of had Michael Jackson in him, but he's more like Prince to me. But, like, I don't know. So how did he blow it? Like, everybody loved him. You know, at the end, he's like, oh, I totally blew my chance. Chance to do what? Like, you accomplished what you wanted. You threw Principal Mazur down a trap door, and we don't know how to do that one. And, you know, he got rid of the principal, and he does this amazing show as Power Line. Just because he got caught, like, I don't know. If I was Principal Mazur, I would be like, okay, this kid needs to be on YouTube or something. Like, we have, like, our Justin Bieber of the goof generation. But, like, Principal Mazur takes so much offense to it, and it's, like, such an embarrassing situation.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was awesome. Like, can you imagine, like, last day of school assembly, and that happens? Like, I mean, we can't really, Prince isn't very relatable nowadays, but, you know, imagine, you know, someone pretending to be Justin Bieber, or, I mean, that's even a very lame thing. Like, Timberlake or something, you know, and impersonating him. Like, that would be a bomb. But,
yeah.
You know, and everyone loves it. That's the thing. Like, you know, afterwards he's walking out and everyone's like, Max, 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 Max.
I know. Everybody loves him. Good for him. Yeah, I thought that first part was cool. You know, he sings a song about, you know, after today, you know, he's, you know. You know, but some of those school kids, it's like, well, this is the 90s, so they really, like, you know, this is really when, you know, they, like, girls in cartoons, like, started showing their midriff, started running around in tiny shorts. Exhibit A is the very modestly dressed, but hot chick.
The hot chick.
She comes up, and she's so impressed with Max's...
Hey, Max,
with Max's...
wicked dance.
And then and she gets shooed away by the nerdy girl.
Forget it, girl. He's Roxanne's.
But is he Roxanne's? But is he at that point? I was so frustrated. I was like, Max, you blew it. She's so much harder than Roxanne.
Oh.
So I guess that's not the point of the movie. I was like, Max, come on, man. I love how iTunes will just change its interface.
Oh yeah.
Without telling you, and with each change, it gets even more confusing to use.
Yeah. Like this new way. But isn't that always the way with anything?
I hate the way. I just want out of the way.
The best friend guy who ends up dating the one girl, you know, that guy. Yeah.
I did not watch that show.
Oh, well.
There are no two greater words in the vacationing language. Well, one of them is Disney World. The other is all-inclusive. So freaking sweet.
And Max is played by James Marsden, and we've talked about him before because he was on Spirited Away.
Is it James Marsden or Jason Marsden?
James?
I think it's Jason.
Jason. James is the hottie in Enchanted.
Oh, I like him.
A date.
Now gather around, my possum pals, and join the jamboree. Come hoot and holler, holler from the heart. Every chicken, pig, and goat will help in giving out a yodel here at Glaster's Possum Park. And then it goes, like, there's somebody in the background, and it's like, skin that cat, Beulah, and it shifts up, and it goes on. And then the next verse is, visit Beulah's farm of fiddles, pet our varmints, taste our vittles, Lulu's lizards, games, and pies, a work of art. Then do a do-si-do and dance, and like there's a possum in your pants down at Lester's Possum Park. Well, don't you want to be, hang from a tree, we're mighty glad to see you, and the parking's always free. Here at Lester's Possum Park. Doo-loo-loo-loo-loo. Hey!
That was awesome. That was
very good. Very good. Very good.
Oh, I listen to that song all the time. Not all the time now, but like when I first bought this CD.
They got beat out by the Care Bears movie.
That's right. Was that the Black Cauldron?
Yes. It's this $40 million movie beat out by the Care Bears. Like,
that's beautiful.
Oh, man. I loved this movie. VHS Life started at Little Mermaid.
Yeah, this movie was just kind of always a classic. It was one that girls like. Ariel really brought sexy back for the redheads. I mean, she gave... they loved Ariel. Ariel was their favorite character. And, like, this is any Disney princess. I sort of see this similar thread that the Disney princess you like the most or you relate to the most is the one that has the same hair color as you.
It's true.
So, you know, the redheads finally had their leading lady. So, yeah, you know, she's really cool. I really liked her design. I mean, she was a mermaid, and we love mermaids. So this was just... It just brought kind of like the fantasy elements along with the love elements and the music. It was, you know, kind of a good trifecta there.
Yeah.
So any girl knows, thanks to this movie, anytime you were in a pool, it was the Little Mermaid effect.
True.
Go down the bend and you would let your hair float up like Ariel. And then you had to finish it off by coming to the surface and doing the Little Mermaid hair flip.
The whoosh-ish.
Talking about if they're a girl.
Yeah.
and then you'd always try to do the Little Mermaid. It was awesome.
Do the Little Mermaid.
I guess I can't relate, but thanks for that input. I didn't know that.
Oh, no. Yeah,
I didn't know there was an Ariel effect or a Little Mermaid effect.
Of course.
Girl cult. You didn't grow up in the 90s unless
girl
you
girl culture.
Did.
I have no clue. Yeah. And so she signs a contract. I thought that was cool to see Ariel's signature.
Yeah. Ariel. What I don't understand about that contract is, like, how is that contract legal? Like, she comes back and is like, no, the contract is legal and is binding and unbreakable for even you. I'm like, how is it legal? She's underage.
Yeah. He's the king of the... She's underage and he's the king of the ocean.
What does that say?
Apparently the sea constitution is pretty strong.
I guess.
But, if only. But, but yeah, she's 16 years old, so she doesn't need a legal contract. Doesn't she have to have a guardian sign it?
I don't know. What
Sebastian could have signed it for her.
Well, but then again, we're at the time period again, so...
Also, what I don't get is why does she tell Ursula that she doesn't have anything to pay her with? She's the princess of the ocean, you know?
Well, she really doesn't have any place to hide her seashell in her seashell, so...
Well, it was like Jasmine had no need for money.
Right.
Ariel's like, meh, money, what's that?
Everything that I need to eat is all around me.
Oh, gosh. I know. She like, get gross fangs like the merfolk on Harry Potter.
Oh, gross. Contrived. But, they come up with something as to why they no longer can talk about merpeople anymore.
Well, there's a sea witch after her.
Yeah.
Named
Ursula's sister.
Morgana.
Ooh.
Morgana!
Morgana being the most evil name anyone can think of. You know? It was actually voiced by the same person who did Ursula.
Is it really?
Awesome. Yeah, there's a lot of the original voices in Return to the Sea.
Yeah.
It's the same Ariel, same Sebastian, same Scuttle, Carlotta, even Luis the Chef. He's in it. Why did they bring him back?
Hey, if it works.
Hey, he has the best song through the whole thing. I mean, all of these other songs are great, but you cannot be just a shameless...
Gotta love the shameless mockery of the French.
Exactly.
It always works.
Poisson, le poisson, I love le poisson, love to chop and to serve them with fish. Oh, my favorite is this, le poisson, hee hee hee, ha ha ha.
Leave her right, hack them in two.
Yeah, it's just like, you can't get better than that. It's amazing.
Chutolo, I missed one. I just like when Sebastian makes a noise and he notices and he's like, he's like,
that is this.
So Kiss the Girl, how does that rank? I like Kiss the Girl. I think it's cool. It's got that Sebastian personality in it. Like, they obviously, like...
They almost cut this song out of the scene, out of the movie, too. Do you know that?
Really? No.
Okay, yeah. Who were their test audience? Five-year-old boys?
I don't know. But they almost cut this one out, and I got that one from Disney War. They were talking about all the different things that was happening during this movie, and that was one of the other ones that they almost cut out.
Huh. Where can I read Disney War?
You can...
I'm just curious.
Well, if you'd like...
If only there were, like, text files that you could download from the internet, and that could be your books. You could,
You could do that. Or you could just go to audible.com, and you can listen to the whole Disney War.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's so convenient. Right here on my Kindle.
Hey, I listen to it on my phone. It's great.
This is turning into that part of Wayne's World, the movie, where they're talking about product placement.
It's totally true. Oh, it's awesome. Apparently, we can be bought.
I think this is the name of our episode. Product placement book galore.
Now with more product placement.
Hello, Rotoscopers. This is Jessica Worski. I'm a writer over at the Animation Fascination blog, and I'm also an animation student. And I wanted to say thank you for what you do, because you've helped me rekindle that childlike spark of cartoons and animation, the reason why I want to do what I do. You remind me how cool it is to just sit around and talk about cartoons, what we always do. did growing up and what I still would like to do every day. And I love your show. I really do. I started listening to MuggleCast because of you, too. And, man, I think it'd be really cool to have Andrew on your show sometime. I love that guy. He's great. And my request would be Lion King show. Duh, come on. I know you're spreading out the Disney Renaissance. I get you. But anyways, it's going to be a good one when you do it. And I love you guys. You have a wonderful day, and keep up the good work.
Mulan, Disney's Mulan, which is one of my favorite films of all time as far as Disney goes.
Oh, it's so good. Okay, so I came across this because as I was researching Mulan, I came across Mulan's new 2013 redesign. Apparently Disney, they have redone the princesses as they feel the need to do. The princesses weren't good, you know, the way they were. And, of course, they needed makeovers in very princessy fashion. So they redesigned them, and there's been sort of a bit of a hullabaloo about them, specific princesses, especially with Mulan.
I love Mulan's synopsis. When her country needs it most, she disguises herself as a man and goes off to fight. It's like, this is a regular thing for her.
My country needs me.
This is Mulan.
Get on my mail gear.
This is Mulan. When China's in danger, she cross-dresses.
Oh, great granddaughter was a cross-dresser.
That's weird. It's like this weird... It's this weird thing. They're like alluding to her job as a Disney princess.
She really gets brought down because she tries and then she fails. Like, she's the worst of all the guys. And then she, you know, her intelligence comes true and she gets a lot smarter. She gets a lot stronger. And then she's able to figure out the trick of the two. What is it? This one represents determination.
Discipline.
Discipline.
I like Yao's face when he's doing this.
So she figures that out. And it's just such an awesome song. I love the lyrics because everyone's sort of involved. I'm never going to catch my breath. Say goodbye to those who knew me.
Why was I a fool in school for cutting gym?
These guys got me scared to death. Hope he doesn't see right through me. Now I really wish that I knew how to swim. You must be quick.
Dude, I love it. There's like cool lines. It's like tranquil as a forest, a burning fire within.
You notice that in almost every one of these Disney movies, they've got like a song where it's like the progression of the character from who they were to who they need to be. So, for example, in this one, you've got Make a Man Out of You. Tarzan was Son of Man.
Yeah, this is very Tarzan-esque because, you know, Mulan starts off as this kind of wimp who's kind of an outcast, and then she becomes a man. Yeah. She's, like, more a man than all the other guys.
Yeah. And then also The Lion King, where it's Hakuna Matata. They've got that part where he grows up. And so it's like there's a lot of these songs. It's kind of like, all right. Or in Hercules, it's the...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, in Snow White, it's Whistle While You Work. The transformation of the house from filthy to clean. So epic. Yeah. Okay, what would the title be like if Sean Yu had his own villain song?
Okay, for some reason, like, thinking of that, for some reason, my mind just really wants it to be some type of a burlesque number. Can you just imagine, like, because a lot of times these songs, like, they show the other side of them. For example, who am I thinking of?
But Sean, you doesn't have another side. He's all killer, no filler, man.
Yeah.
That's what makes him so threatening.
That's what would make it so great. Like, you just come out and, like jazz fingers.
No.
With Sean, I can
Home of the Rage.
That's pushing the westernization of this film too far. This is where the martial arts really takes place, you know. Shun Yu, he's like all brawn, you know. Headbutts Shang in the head with his head. And I was expecting Jafar to come in and be like, someone's using their head. The pun master.
Oh, yes, the pun master. Opposed to the page master.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, I remember that
movie. We gotta do that one.
Oh. You got some cool lines, you know. Shun Yu's like trying to intimidate the emperor. Bow to me. He's like, no matter how the wind howls, the mountain cannot bow.
Oh, what a cool guy.
He's like, then you will kneel in pieces.
You know. If you will not bow before a sultan, you will cower before a sorcerer.
Again. You know, across continents, Jafar's like looking in his crystal ball. He's like, man, I have so many good lines for this. Xun Yu, what are you doing?
I did this before.
Xun Yu, no, more puns. They want more puns. Make Mulan your slave girl. Come on.
Put her in the hot red outfit.
Put her in the hot red outfit.
Flick the piece off her cheek. My lovely Chinese blossom. That would go perfect.
That would be perfect. Dude. I bet, you know, in the villain underworld, you know, down with Hades, Jafar probably, like, took Xun Yu aside by the shoulder, let him off, and was like, Xun Yu, you did great. Just a few more pointers for the next time you're resurrected for Kingdom Hearts. Maybe a little more feminism, you know? It's okay. It's okay. Notice all the cross-dressing going on. Take Ursula here. You don't know what she is. But
anyway, oh, she had short hair. See?
Yeah, that's true.
Fine.
Seriously, I don't know why this Disney concubine thing didn't take off in the parks.
Oh, that's Chin Po. Concubine Chin Po. That is my favorite Chin Po.
I think the title of this episode should be The Power of Cross-Dressing.
There's a lot of good stuff already. Some major effects going on here for this big celebration, you know, the dragon and the huge crowds of people, again, using the Attila program to make all those characters. And there's also a hidden Mickey in there, apparently.
Ooh.
If you look in the crowd. Yeah, check it out.
Also, there's a hidden Mickey on Khan's polka dots or whatever. He has like a few spots on his body. Mm. There's a hidden Mickey there.
Oh, yeah. And apparently there's hidden Mickeys on the stairs of the Imperial Palace.
Well, they just, like, really apparently there's a hidden Mickey on Mulan's forehead.
Apparently Mushu turns into Mickey for one frame.
Oh, like Aladdin.
Our title. It could either be Chinese yodeling or apparently there's a hidden Mickey.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, hold on.
Something just happened with my thing. I don't know.
Did y'all get headsets?
Yes.
Cool. Now you're like superstars. You know how superstars, you know, they get up on the stage and they have the headset mic, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're like, you're like when we did Seussical, when the Cat in the Hat, she had like a headset and it was really cool and official looking.
What? When did we do Seussical?
You know, that one time we did Seussical, you and me, and it was great.
Like,
1984, come on. No, okay. You sound great.
Okay.
Very clear.
Very clear?
Yeah.
That's good, because last time was horrible.
Yeah, it was. I didn't want to say anything, though.
No, I know it was horrible. Like, next time, if it ever sounds like that, and you can hear that it sounds horrible, please tell me, because that's...
We'll just kick you off.
Yeah, right. I was glad I didn't really talk all that much last time.
Yeah.
yeah, that's better.
Yeah, good thing. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
We're having way too much fun in here.
What?
I don't know. How are you going to do this?
I don't know.
We're in the middle of it, so. Bye.
Sorry. Bye, Mommy. Chelsea's mom walked in.
Oh, Chelsea's mom.
It's not a podcast unless someone's
I'm recording my pod. Reminds me of the frat that they go to on Monsters University.
It's like The Simpsons. Like, Lisa, your mom is so cool. If this were me, my mom would be walking in with Rice Krispie squares and Tang in the background. Marge is walking in with that. That does a U-turn.
Whoa! Even.
And then we're introduced to Hal, voiced by... I heard it and I was like... That's Christian Bale.
Yeah. You gotta be kidding me.
He's like, hey, Sophie, just walk with me.
But it was a sexy voice. Yeah. Looking at the character, I would not think something like that, but I totally dig the voice on Cal.
Yeah. It made a good wrap-up for the film, you know, where at the end he's like, you either die a hero, or you live long enough to see yourself become a film.
Totally.
So let's talk about Hal. First, I like how Sophie gets in trouble with the soldiers, and he's like, your mustache scares all the girls away. I was like, finally, someone makes that comment.
I don't know what kind of facial hair Jared has, but I will never. I just don't get it. Like, girls, why do you like guys with mustaches?
I don't.
You
know?
We don't.
I just want to go to a guy with a mustache and be like, do you enjoy that? Do you enjoy having like a Wookiee on your upper lip? You know, just a little Wookiee. Just a little Wookiee resting on your upper lip.
Do you talk to it at night?
I'm just kidding.
No,
I shouldn't ridicule mustaches that much because my dad has one.
Yeah, but your dad's a man.
Yeah, I don't get the rising generation's obsession with mustaches. Definitely has something to do with the hipster movement.
Yeah.
You know?
And everyone's desire to be a 1920s oil baron.
I know. It's like, okay.
I'm going to be the next Rockefeller.
Yeah, what's next? You know, you're going to start wearing monocles and top hats and petticoats and start talking
sure
like this?
Started.
I would love to
Says
see that.
Says here in the news, Papa, that Rockefeller has made a 100 penny reward for a magnificent flying contraption.
That's exactly how the announcer talks in The Legend of Korra.
Really?
Because it's set in like that era, kind of. So that's really funny.
Anyway, it's so true. There's my mustache rant, folks.
Well, if you're gonna get a rant on this one, I'll get one too.
Little Wookiee.
I think that some guys can pull off facial hair. And I think they do a really good job with it, but at the same time, I would never kiss it.
So you would never kiss Burt Reynolds?
No, ew, no.
Like, why not?
Just,
I'm just kidding. You would never kiss Jafar.
Jafar.
Your mustache is so twirly, twisted.
It's just how it is.
What about Sean Connery?
Yeah, Hal definitely has the way with the ladies. I mean, come on, he's showing her the secret garden and everything.
He's like showing the secret garden, his hair is like waving in the wind.
Yeah, long like, flowing locks.
Well, it was very much
you
like,
can come here whenever you want.
It was like Beast.
Yeah.
Like the library is like, I'm going to give you a secret place. It's just for you.
Oh, man.
She's like, oh.
But there's like the fact that she caught on to the fact that he was leaving. He was like, that's smart. Like, mistrust, always. Like, here's the thing. Like, women tend to mistrust, and men have commitment issues. But I'm just saying, like, that's kind of like a commentary on a lot of relationships here.
That's true.
Yeah, I think it has something to do with that. I think Hal also thought it was his duty to intervene in the war and stop, you know, stop the violence, you know?
Well, at that point, he, like, realized that he had something to protect. Like, he was like, oh, okay, I've decided not to run away anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he definitely said that in that film, in that scene also. Yeah, I like the comparison with Beauty and the Beast, you know? He's very like, Sophie, you can go anywhere you want in the castle, except the West Wing.
What's
in the West Wing? The Batcave's in the West Wing. You never go in the back gate.
So the Beast not only has a time vortex, but he's also secretly Batman. Oh, that's I love right. this. Someone needs to draw that picture.
He's a symbol that we don't have to give in to fear and chaos.
Oh my goodness.
Sophie.
We should redo this movie and have it be Disney and have it be Beast Moving Castle.
Beast Moving Castle!
And instead of giving her the library...
Beast Moving Batcave.
Because they're... Because Sophie's kind of like Belle. Like, she's pretty, but she's just not, like, you know, super gorgeous.
She doesn't think she's all that.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, someone could totally redo this Beauty and the Beast theme, and it would totally work.
Yeah.
I know. Harvey Dent must never know about this. But anyway.
The type of fairy she's going to be is a tinker fairy, which, as Chelsea explained, tinker fairies, opposed to twinker fairies who twink out, tinker fairies are those who tinker and fix things. So they're basically the carpenters and you know.
The nerds.
for all the other, yeah, fairies.
You realize, like, every other group had, like, their cool girl representative, except for the Tinkers. You know, you just had the tall, fat guy and the short, skinny guy. Obviously, we never change.
Yeah.
Sidekicks. And, like, that's it. They don't have any girls other than Fairy Mary, mm-hmm. who's the, you know, kind of the representative, but not really. Like, she's like
the matron.
Yeah, so it's like, obviously, they're waiting for Tinker Bell to come along and take her spot as the female protagonist spot on the
totally
Tinkers.
Totally, yeah, she'll win the award for Miss Tinker,
yeah,
you know, Miss Tinker Fairy, and then they have the pageant at the end of the year for Miss Overall Fairy, you know, Miss Fairy USA 2013. For real, a fairy beauty pageant would be awesome. Okay, we're doing that.
Oh man. And like you were talking about how it's like they all seem very nice except for the one.
Video.
There's always one brat in there.
Yeah, totally. Like, this is like a perfect utopian society of like happy girls and a few males here and there. And like, which that's funny thinking about. But fairies don't procreate. They're born from babies last. Exactly, so that's not an issue. So is fairy romance a thing?
Well, yeah, it is. Because later on in the other movies.
That's true.
we've dove too much into this.
So, yeah, there's Vidia, and she's, what is she? She's just, like, a superpower fairy. Like,
yeah, she's the fast wind fairy.
Yeah, so it's just so funny how, like, very specific your power can get, and her power is super rare, apparently. Yeah. So, like, she basically has no friends. That's why she's bitter, because there's only, like, one of her, so she has to do all the work. I don't know if that's necessarily true, but, you know, apparently there are some elements that are more common than others, and that makes sense. Like the big ones where you'll need a lot of water, you'll need a lot of this, you'll need a lot of sunshine. But yeah, it's really funny.
Yeah, they have to start off the animosity in there by like, oh, Tinkerbell's hammer glowed a lot more than even Vidia's did. Like when and she's like, what? Excuse me, somebody? No, you are not better than me, girl, newcomer.
Yeah, she's definitely the alpha female, and by Tinkerbell having, you know, powers, you know, in the Tinker form, yes, are equivalent or better than Vidia is not cool in her book.
Not cool. So as the movie goes on, Tinkerbell, she starts talking to Vidia.
Yeah.
And she's like, hey, we're kind of the same. Our talents help everybody. And Vidia's like, no. We are so not the same. Like, I am very much higher than you. On all levels. So stop. Don't even go there. And Tinkerbell's just like, what? What?
So oblivious.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird song that is sung at the beginning. And that's the beginning I'm watching this. I'm like, oh no, what is this? You know, we know that direct-to-video songs typically aren't the best unless it's Aladdin, King of Thieves.
That one's great.
I know. But so they play this song and then all of a sudden, you know, you kind of figure out how fairies are born, and this is true to the original play, fairies are born from the laughs of babies. So every time a baby laughs, a fairy is born. And I'm just sitting here thinking, like, okay, babies cry a lot, but babies also laugh a ton.
No, it's just the first time a baby laughs.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes more sense.
So every
Because otherwise person... I'm like, there's going to be billions of fairies in the world. Okay, so it's equivalent. There's a fairy for every person.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of. Except when there are twins born.
Oh, yes.
Or,
yeah.
Like
weird embryos splitting.
Like the laugh splitting into multiples. No, but that's the actual story. It's like the laugh broke into 1,000 pieces and all went skipping about. Like,
yeah.
That was from Hook. I just remember
nice.
Bringing back all of my...
Yes, anything that's related to Peter Pan or Tinkerbell will be brought back in this movie, this podcast.
So I was like, come on. Go for it, Tink. Follow your dreams.
Well, and the sad thing about, like, I'm examining the queen's leadership here.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the queen just is like, okay, they kind of go with it and let her talk. And then finally, the queen just calls out Tinkerbell in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Bad form.
Bad form. Bad form.
What's that from?
It's from Hook.
Yeah. And really bad form. And it's, like, embarrassing. Like, could you not have pulled Tinkerbell aside and been like,
yeah.
Oh, well, by the way, you don't go. You know, just anything. Tell her after the fact. You know, it's just now Tinkerbell doesn't want to show her face. It's really embarrassing. It's sad. And I don't know. It made me think less.
Could you not see that coming?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
I'm thinking as the queen, like, were you not thinking far enough ahead? Like,
yeah.
If I do this, she's going to be embarrassed and there's just going to be problems.
Yes.
Like, come on. So I was the same. I thought the exact same thing. I'm like, come on, leadership skills. Come on. How to win friends and influence people.
7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
These are the other books that we read.
Yes, on audible.com. It's true. I just listened to those two.
Really?
Yes, I need to re-listen to 7 Habits of Highly Effective People because that's more one that you need to like
have your worksheet ready with
it's
you.
True.
And, like, I was listening to it while I was cleaning, and I was like, ah, I don't have time to, like, list these goals. And yeah, you know, so I need to go back and listen.
Have you listened to,
How to Win Friends and Influence People? Of course.
No.
That's not the one you're talking about.
No. Leadership and Self-Deception.
No. I started it. And the beginning's, like, really hard to get into.
It is kind of hard to get into. But, like, the whole thing, though, as you listen to it, like, you just realize it's, life in general, everything is about being not selfish.
Yeah.
And, like, just getting out of yourself.
I need that.
Like, we all do. Like, that's, it's really is something that everybody can go listen to. I'm going to keep this in the podcast, just so you guys all know. You can go to therotoscopers.com/audible, and you can get your free download. You can pick one of these books, because these are really amazing books. Everyone in their life needs to read. I don't care who you are, what you love, do it. You're going to be dealing with people your entire life.
Yes.
Go for it. So... And rant.
Yes. And on to Tinkerbell.
Voiced by Rob Paulsen. He has a really cool podcast.
I know.
Did you get to listen to
him? Yes. Okay. So he has a show called Talkin' Tunes with Rob Paulsen. And this is the guy who is the voice of Yakko Warner from Animaniacs, Pinky from Pinky and the Brain. I mean, he's done tons of stuff.
So much.
He's so talented, and he's just always busy with work, and he has this show, and he just brings on random people. The one I listened to most recently, he brought in the Star Kids, Joe Moses and Joey Richter from A Very Potter Musical.
Really?
Yeah, and so they're the ones who are doing the new, one of their new things they're going to be doing is Twisted,
which
is, like, basically the musical Wicked, you know, how it tells how the Wicked Witch became Wicked, but this one tells how Jafar became Twisted. So they're doing a parody musical about that, which I think is so hilarious.
Oh, I can't
and
wait.
Awesome, yeah, so... It's funny because he just brings on people who he thinks are relevant or cool, people in the industry, and he's just no reservations. Like, he'll bust out into his voices.
Yeah.
He'll do Yakko at any time. He'll do Pinky at any time. Like, this guy's so funny. So that's, like, our podcast listen of the week. Like, if you love animation podcasts, this is probably my number one most recommended podcast.
Yeah.
And I just started listening to it.
Yeah. So I found it when we did our interview with Bill Farmer way back when and just fell in love with it. He's really, really great.
Yeah, and he puts it out pretty regularly. So, yeah. I mean, he's serious about his podcast. So it's cool to be like, I know him. I know him from this. And the fact that he's in Tinkerbell is way cool.
Yeah, and once you listen to him do it, you... I hear him everywhere.
You can't unhear him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I can hear Rob Paulsen almost anywhere now.
Yeah.
Now that I've heard, like, different voices that he does, like, that's so him.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It's fun.
So he plays one of the male Tinker Fairies called Bubble, and Crank is the other one.
Yeah. But after that, he kind of just, like, disappeared. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he was our version, not quite, but close to our version of the Beebs.
Yeah. Kind of. Yeah. Even like 1/100th
of
the Bieber.
If you add like Jess McCartney with JTT, I think that would be our equivalent.
Oh, JTT. Oh. What happened to that kid? Probably doing voice acting now.
Probably.
Hey, Rotoscopers. This is Daniela from New Zealand. And I just wanted to say that I really enjoy listening to your podcasts, and I usually listen to them on the way to and from uni on the bus. So every time you guys burst out into song randomly, I always feel like joining in, but it would be kind of awkward for the person sitting next to me. So that doesn't really work. So one of my favorite episodes this year would have to be the Pokemon episode, especially all the times when Mason does his Ash impression. And you guys talk about how pathetic of a trainer Ash is. So I actually agree quite a lot. I've had this discussion with my friends a lot of times. And yeah, he is just pretty shocking. And every time you guys talk about 90s soundtracks, like in the episode for a Goofy movie, when you start singing the Powerline song... Yeah, those are my favorite moments. So, yeah. Hope you guys are well, and here's to plenty more amazing episodes. Okay, bye.
There's dragons involved.
There's dragons.
And angsty teenagers.
Angsty teenagers. Well, are these angsty teenagers aren't
But they're American.
There isn't one that's training a dragon, or is there?
Maybe.
Maybe, yeah, yeah. Or is this just Pokemon?
Pocket monsters!
You know, when Ash is like, oh, well, Dragonite! All right, Pikachu, I choose you!
Joe! Can I just say, the thing that bothered me about Ash is he didn't try to catch Pokemon. He was like, yeah, but he was cool having like five. Any Pokemon I see, I'm going to catch it.
Well, no, you, the middle school child who has the Game Boy game, has to catch them all. Ash, you know, he catches them when the plot demands that he does.
Or when they bring a new generation of Pokemon in and he has to shift the other ones out and bring new ones.
Oh, no, guys, I got to release all my old Pokemon.
Did they ever
release Pikachu!
Pikachu!
Did he ever release the Pokemon?
No,
he would.
He would, because they'd be like, oh, don't you see it? Charmeleon doesn't want to be with you. He's like, oh my gosh, I never thought a Pokemon would like me. Oh, I should be more considerate about their feelings. And Brock's like, Nurse Joy! True. But anyway.
Coffee.
And you know, he never became the champ.
He got like second place one time, I think.
Yeah, second place. That's still losing.
It's all about Gary.
It's all about Gary. Gary, coming from Gary Girl, that's typical.
It's true. Okay, so back to
How to Train Your Dragonite.
It's the new Pokemon spin-off based on How to Train Your Dragon.
We all kill Dragonites. We should make a fan trailer.
That would
Don't
be so
you know? Hard. Lance, we all kill Dragonites. That's what we do. But Dad, I think we should befriend the Dragonites. No! I'm Gerard Butler. Nobody argues with Gerard Butler. Yeah, so he's like studying this dragon, and so he's kind of learning to understand him, and so that's how he kind of rises up as the great dragon conqueror, you know?
Pokemaster?
You better believe it. Like, this is Lance's former years.
Lance is a descendant of Hiccup.
Dude, seriously, he's an advocate. Come on, you guys know you gotta treat your Pokemon with respect and love.
It's true.
That's why Gary lost in the Game Boy game. But, I don't even know what happened to Gary at the end of the cartoon. I don't know.
I think Ash ends up beating him at some point, but not the final championship.
Yeah, because I know in Silver, Gold, and Crystal, he quits the Pokemon League. I mean, well, yeah, he has to. He gets kicked out. He takes over Giovanni's gym.
Oh.
So anyway, the tension is definitely mounting because Stoic gets wind of this dragon's nest. Let's see. I'm looking on Twitter because I'm now on Twitter.
Hey, hey, hey! Has it taken over your life yet?
Yeah, I guess. So the movie Dinosaur, I was looking at I always look at the reception section and critical response section of any Wikipedia page.
Oh, always.
And one of the parts of the critical response was the lemurs depicted in the movie strongly resemble the subspecies, blah, 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 blah. Biologists have raised concern that the movie is misleading. It could potentially confuse people as it suggests lemurs coexisted with dinosaurs over 65 million years ago.
Oh, gosh.
So I'll say, oh, well, thank you, science, for ruining everything for us.
Thanks, science.
But, like, the film did good back when it was released.
Yeah.
It's just, like,
it didn't have legs. It didn't carry.
Yeah, no one cares about it now.
Well, my problem with Dinosaur was that it was way too close to Land Before Time.
No.
Yeah, totally was.
Well, they're going on a journey, and
they break through a wall.
There are
songs.
They do
all these different things. It was just...
Stand together, herd! I just remember the ride in Disney World in Animal Kingdom was the shiz.
They had a dinosaur ride? Bejeebies.
Yeah, scared the bejeebies out of me. It was in Animal Planet Kingdom.
Oh, wow. See, they had, like, such high hopes that they built a ride. Yeah. Or it did initially so well that they built a ride, and afterwards, like... Mm.
Well, they had to find some excuse to have Bill Nye the Science Guy do stuff.
It had went into extinction.
So I also started watching a new animated TV series.
Oh, brother. It was not what I think it is.
What do you think it is?
Is it the freaking My Little Ponies?
Friendship is Magic.
It is, but oh, I don't need ponies to teach me that.
Well, like, I kept hearing about it. You know, we've talked about it before. And then, like, during the, you know, past few weeks...
We did have one of our fans actually draw the fan art of us as ponies, which definitely. I really appreciated.
That was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
No. Whoever did it, who was it? Do you remember the name?
Maggie, maybe.
Oh, they're probably bouncing up and down and raising their hand. Me, it's me. while they're listening. But I just thought they did a great job capturing my my smile. In my hair. Like, I was like, wow, that's exactly what I look like. It was pretty good if I was a pony. But anyway, back to the show. I hate it.
Have you seen it?
I hate it.
Because I kept... Okay, so
I don't need to see it. I've seen all the deviant art ponies.
That's not true.
Do a Google image search on any cartoon character, past or present, and there is a My Little Pony Friendship is Magic version of that.
Is that really so bad?
I don't know what is worse, Sonic characters fan art or My Little Pony fan art.
I think it's fine.
Sorry, Morgan. How's the show? Sorry.
Okay. Let me tell you. So I'm almost done with season one. First, I was like, okay, I got to check this out. I want to see what it's about. You know, there's all these like 20, 30 year olds who are in it. And it has a huge following, like crazy.
Oh, it's insane. I went to the Phoenix Comic Con and Tara Strong, who's Twilight
Sparkle.
Yeah, she's Twilight Sparkle.
Which is an awesome name for a pony, by the way.
Crazy
Twilight
people.
Sparkle.
Like, we sat next to this one guy, and I took my nephew, and he's like 10 or 11. And we sat next to this guy who's had to be like 25 or so, and he's got like his Twilight Sparkle like plush animal, and he's got all these things, and he's like caressing it. And I'm like, oh, wow. Hi. He is. And he's like, I'm the biggest brony ever. Like, bronies.
Brony?
Yes.
That's a term?
No, it is a term. It's a term for
a million of them, too.
And it can be bros, obviously, but it's just basically girls and guys who are older who like it.
Yeah.
So you, all of us would be considered bronies.
No, not me. Sorry.
Well, pardon me.
But anyway. Tara Strong is awesome, so I think that's cool. But
so where do you watch it on Netflix?
Okay, so it's on Netflix, seasons one through Netflix. Three. And I like just started watching. I was like, okay. The first episode is a 2-part episode, and it like introduces you to the 6 main characters. It's pretty cool. So Twilight Sparkle, she's like a unicorn. Unicorns learn magic, and so she's like the apprentice to the princess, who is a Pegasus and a unicorn, which I've learned is called an alicorn.
So that's about it. Nothing too exciting. Oh, and so I've basically depleted all of my podcasts through spending, 6 to 8 hours a day painting. And so I've gone back, and I know I talked about this last time, but I've gone back and I've been listening to the old episodes of Talkin' Tunes with Rob Paulson. And I just got to give that show another plug. It's so good. He's friends with all these voice actors. And so it gives you this cool vibe when he interviews them because they're actually buddies. And so it's more just like a bunch of friends talking, telling stories, It's so good. So definitely go check out that show because I'm going back and I'll listen to interviews and I have no idea who some of these artists are. And then through listening to the podcast, I become like instant fans because then I realize, oh, they did this.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
All right, everybody neat and pretty, then on with the show.
Let's go.
I'll do it.
Do you know what that's from?
No.
Mickey Mouse Club.
Nice. Sounded a bit Disney-ish.
Would you ever consider reviewing direct-to-video sequels?
Oh, we already do. On YouTube. I'm like, I'm not doing more than that. I love how she said, Rise of the Guardians.
Rise of the Guardians. Where's she from again?
Czech Republic.
Wow.
Like, we get around, don't we?
Yeah. Oh, sweet. Spanish country, El Origen de los Guardianes. Brazil, El Origen dos Guardiotes. Belgium, Le Cinque Legendes. Croatia, Pet Legendi. Norway, De Femme Legende, Legendini. Germany, Die Hutter des Lichte. Because you hate Gatsby for being so naive, for being so short-sighted. And then you hate Daisy because she's like, oh, I don't know what I want. I mean, come on, lady. Let's be honest. But and then Tom, you know, Tommy's like, oh, I say Gatsby's no good. Yeah. And then Nick's just like, one more party, please. What, I have a job? I don't really do it. What? Jay-Z? What?
Oh my gosh.
What is that from?
It's from Robin Hood.
This from the most most hilarious Disney film ever made.
Who does that dopey Duke think he is?
What cheek?
Oh, we need to do that one next. That one. Yeah. Okay.
Come on. Can we do Robin Hood next? Okay. Oh my goodness, I'd be so happy.
Okay, done. Done and done and done.
I can sing all the songs.
Oh, so can I.
Ooh, and we can plug in that Mumford & Sons cover of Nottingham.
They do a cover of that?
Yeah, I have it.
Oh, please. Awesome. Anything that's melancholy and a slightly bluegrass sound.
Mumford & Sons got it.
Mumford & Sons have got it.
Have their ups and downs.
Yeah, you can get like, you can hear like the chains clinking in rhythm to the song. The Nottingham. I'm inclined to believe.
If we weren't
so down,
we'd up and leave. Up and cry. No, we'd up and fly if we had wings for flying. I don't know, the tears were crying.
Like a tumbleweed sound, like rattle.
Oh, such a good movie. I'm excited now.
Next time on The Rotoscoper.
Hi guys, it's Gemma, and I just wanted to do a voicemail for your Best of 2013 show. 2013 was a great year for you guys, and not just because of your fantastic coverage on Frozen that I gushed about in my last voicemail. You got some great interviews, and you talked about some great movies in your podcast. It was a pretty good year for me in the terms of seeing the films that you talked about, but with the episodes where you talk about an animated film that I haven't seen, you make me want to see it. And that happened this year. I saw Rise of the Guardians for the first time because of you. My favourite episode from this year is episode 40, Robin Hood. That was just a fab, hilarious episode. We could all tell that you were enjoying yourselves so much, and it was so entertaining. And as for something that was in a lot of your podcast this year, I've loved your Catching Fire games that you played with your hosts and interviewees. I want to do a Catching Fire with you guys. I'm sure I'm not the only one. Keep up the fantastic job, and here's to another great year in animation. Long live the Rotoscopers!
I know. You know how Disney comes out with their, like, the name of the new release, the re-release DVD has something to do with it, you know?
Oh, yes.
So Robin Hood has on the Most Wanted Edition DVD of
what
Robin
does that
Hood,
even mean?
Most Wanted Edition? It means it's narrated by Sheriff John Bunnell of America's Most Wanted. I don't even know Most Wanted Edition. It's the one that you want the most.
I suppose. It's sort of like the Great Mouse Detective, the Mystery and the Mist edition. It's like, what?
Mystery and the Mist edition?
There was no mist.
Yeah, who's the marketing dude who thinks up the DVD edition?
They're like, we don't think it's worth a platinum edition or a diamond edition, but we don't want to just release it. So it needs some sort of edition. So, all right, everyone gather around the table. Let's think of new editions. Oh, I know. Mystery in the Mist.
Okay, I'm thinking we're re-releasing Snow White. We need a name for the edition. Okay, how about this? Snow White Poison Apple edition. Cinderella Rotting Pumpkin edition.
I
the
have
Fox the... and the Hound Radiator edition.
I have the very first DVD edition. It was the Gold Classic Collection. This movie.
That's okay.
Yes,
folks.
Yeah, that was totally good.
So yeah, they were gonna do this kind of alternate ending where Prince John like wounds Robin Hood. This is one of the one films that has been unspoiled by a sequel.
It's
probably because there was no real story in the film, you know, to build on it.
And they're like
to build on it in the
they're like
whatever. Just give them a level on Kingdom Hearts. It's as simple as that.
You
no
know,
plot required.
The thing is, like, they kind of built it, like, to where they could have possibly done something. Because it's, like, at the very end, he's like, Toby's like, well, Skippy, why are you going? Well, Robin Hood is going to have kids. Somebody's got to take care of things. I'm like,
Why?
Creepiest thing ever. Like, they just got married and they're going on their honeymoon. Like, they don't have kids yet. Why are you there, Skippy? It's disgusting. Okay.
And then you can see on the IMDb page for Robin Hood under the parents' guide, sex is implied in the last scene of the movie. Four out of ten should have been PG. 13.
Oh man.
But yeah, it's kind of weird. It's kind of like a weird mentorship, kind of like a Jack Donaghy, Liz Lemon thing. But yeah, I don't know. It was kind of creepy that he like runs off with them on their honeymoon.
Yeah.
Oh, and Little John's driving the cab.
Of course. Well, so... Hey, they're inseparable.
I can understand somebody driving the cab. I mean, somebody's got to. Well, but
does it have to be your friend? Could you not hire a man for this?
Yeah, you know, the Middle Ages had some weird traditions on marriage,
such as
I can't even say them on the podcast.
Oh, yes, because we're a clean podcast.
Just look up the history of why there's a garter toss.
Oh,
and
I've looked that up before.
Well, we looked it up when we were getting married, and it was kind of funny. But anyway, yeah, so kind of funky. A funky ending. I'm glad we get to see King Richard, a proper lion king.
Well, yes, because he has a giant mane.
You heard what he said, bushel britches.
No, man. That no been, no, man.
Ugh, Brazil.
Were
you excited? What? She's speaking Portuguese.
No,
Were you excited about Rio? Were you Wow. I don't think he's evil, he's just a jerk. Man, this is not a good time to have the hiccups. Snakes don't walk, they slither.
So there. I kind of like it better at saying slither.
Well, that's not it.
I'm gonna keep saying it like that. But give me a cruel chuckle. This is a red letter day. A coup d'etat to join the Northern France. Sire, you are most procuring contributions from the poor. Indeed, Sir Hiss. Rob the poor to feed the rich. Aha. Aha. I mean, Robin Hood really could have slain Prince John right there. But, you know, I guess, as Gandalf would say, courage is not taking a life. It's knowing when to save it.
Or as Nephi would say, it is better that one man should perish than a whole nation should dwindle in unbelief.
Should die in a whole nation should dwindle in unbelief.
That's totally the Robin Hood way. If this were really, I mean...
Oh my goodness, that just made my movie.
Well, because based on his attitude towards money and we steal from the rich to feed the poor, it's all about the people, it's more important about them, you would think that Robin Hood ultimately would just chop off Prince John's head because it's for the good of the people.
And then dress up in clothing and make sure his go with him.
Dress up in his clothing and go up to Sir Hiss. Asking for the gold.
Know what we're talking about.
Who cares?
Am I keeping this in there? I don't even know.
It's a blooper.
Yeah. I think a lot of this episode is going to have to be edited for length. But
yeah, I think.
Sir Zoram.
Anyway, Sir Zoram. I don't think Zoram was all that. Wasn't like Sir Hit. Anyway, I don't know. We could go off.
Whatever. Oh, man. You need to do fan art of that.
Well, I don't want to give away any spoilers here, folks, but I figured out the entire film.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, well, yeah. We can do it's a spoiler segment.
Well, it explains everything from Danger Will Robinson. It explains everything from like the weird snail races that these guys are doing to you know, the engines on the things. I've got it all figured out. The fact is that Turbo died, got sucked into the engine, and this is actually his. It's like a lost style heaven for him, you know, because his life has been so mundane and boring that he dies when he gets sucked into the race car. And this is kind of his, like, heaven, you know, snail heaven, where he can just kind of live this fantasy of being a super fast snail and having friends. It's really sad, folks, but it's true. He's dead the whole time.
You know, being dead is the answer to everything in most movies. They were dead the whole time. He's a ghost.
It was a dream the whole time. Yeah. Well, yeah. Sorry, folks. I hate to make you all depressed, but Turbo's been dead the whole time. That's the point of the movie.
Well, we'll see who's right come July 19th.
And then he finds all his friends, and they all sit in this church, you know, in the last scene. They kind of all float into this white light, just like Lost, you know. And then they never explain the island.
No, then they meet the dogs from All Dogs Go to Heaven and all the clocks.
All the clocks from All Clocks.
You'll never come back.
Never come back.
And then that pink poodly dog, she's going to sing that song.
She's awesome.
Yeah, she is.
Totally. I love that movie.
That's funny. So after figuring out Turbo all by myself, that's about it. Yeah, this new radio show coming up on Thursdays, and that's it.
Cool.
So the next story is Monsters University accidentally sent an alumni newsletter to a human by mistake.
And by human, we mean Morgan.
Yes, that human was me. Yeah.
Wow, you are so lucky.
Yeah, I don't know how Monsters University got my address, but they sent me this.
Well, they certainly can get in your closet.
Well, so that's
Monsters Court.
That's true. They just went in my closet and they just found my address lying on a piece of paper on the table. So this is actually really cool because I wasn't expecting anything. Yeah, but it was just a really clever, like, viral marketing campaign that they did. There were some other people that got sent this. Unfortunately, I didn't get sent my invitation to freshman orientation, which essentially is Pixar Blogger Day, where they fly you out and you go to the studio and. Yeah, we are apparently not cool enough to get that.
Dang.
But at least I accidentally got an alumni newsletter, which was pretty neat. So pretty cool marketing that they're doing. They always find a cool edge and spin to put on all their stuff.
Yeah, seriously, this like campaign of theirs, this like viral campaign is like really elaborate and really well thought out, and I think it's really cool.
Yeah. You know,
well, how about inviting entertainment empire moguls like us?
Exactly. That's what
moguls.
That's moguls. We could be our own monster, the moguls.
Exactly. See, we're the rotoscoper monster. We could sneak in to why they thought we were you know, an alum, because
yeah, I'll work up a character design for that.
Oh, please do. That'd be so awesome.
We'll send it to Pixar.
Hey, I'm sure we can find an address somewhere to send.
No. It's like when you send letters to Santa Claus, you just put Santa Claus, the North Pole. And so on the envelope, we'll just put Pixar.
Emeryville, California. Sweet.
So that's cool. We all saw it. We're going to have our discussion on it. Okay, so I went at 11:30 in the morning, and I was like, come on, Shanna, let's go. And she's like, you know, there's going to be like a million little kids there, right? I was like, no, kids don't get up early these days. It's summer. Because when we walked in, it was like, yeah! And I was like, oh, we barely found a seat. We almost had to do what we did at Sundance a couple years ago and just sit in two different seats. Oh, married and having to sit in two different seats. I mean, you know, two different seats that weren't adjacent. Yeah. And so finally we wedged ourselves between some drooling, slobbering children, toxic children. And, you know, it's like I can't laugh at movie trailers when all the kids are laughing. You know, because then I'm just a little kid then. Saw some pretty, I mean, I've seen these previews already. We saw, what was that? Despicable Me 2. Mm-hmm. Guess Who's Back. And that's cool. I like the line, and weapons! He's like really excited about having new weapons.
That one wasn't on my screening.
Yeah, we did Despicable Me 2, the Frozen teaser trailer. Uh-huh. And Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs Part 2, before it was titled Revenge of the Leftovers, but then it would have broken the record that Owls of Ga'Hoole set for most syllables in a movie animated movie title. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs Part 2 Revenge of the Leftovers. That's almost 20 syllables, folks. So remember, what was it, episode 2 or like episode 3 where we were talking about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saved them. I saved Sony.
Thank you.
Obviously, they listened to that and internalized it. Yes, so those were the main trailers, and then, and then the Planes trailer, which I saw already for Epic.
Mm-hmm.
Farm Boy.
Yeah, and mine was Planes Turbo as well.
Oh, yeah, we saw one for Turbo, too.
And
Light Shadow.
Yeah, and then this Lego movie trailer. Ooh.
Yes, we will talk about that.
Oh, it tingles. It's like the word Mufasa with bonsai. And that one hyena. Oh, it tingles.
All right, so we're going to be doing a lot of emails. We're going to be catching up on all the emails that we have received over the past few months. And the first one is from Joshua. He says, I love what you've done with your podcast. I loved your Snow White episode and Monsters University episode. I loved, well, all of them. Can you please put Mason on YouTube? Thanks, Joshua. So, I love the Snow White episode and Monsters University episode as well. And, surprise, surprise, since you wrote this, Mason has now made a few appearances on YouTube, so definitely go check him out. I know one video that he's going to be doing is called 100 Animation Impressions, and that is when we receive 2,000 likes on Facebook. Then he's going to release this video of him doing 100 impressions of animated characters from animation. It's going to be awesome, so go like us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/rotoscopers.
I need to learn Spanish, dadgum. And I can get most of it, but...
You can't. You're spoiled by Portuguese already.
I know.
It's impossible.
No, but the thing is, I can understand it because I went to school in Spanish. I lived in Spain for a while. But yeah, it was like... Brazilian Portuguese just ruins it. I can't speak.
Doesn't it
though? I can't speak for the life of me. It's horrible.
What if we're like Lindsay Sterling and we have like a secret nation of fans that are just from a foreign country that we just never heard of?
We do have a lot of people from Mexico that listen to us though.
Really?
Yeah. Like most of the YouTube stuff, I'm looking at the geography here of our views, and after US, United Kingdom, and Canada, we've got Mexico and Australia, Brazil.
Then Australia, that's so weird.
Then Turkey.
But you know what I've noticed is that Australia,
France, Australia.
I've noticed that Australia is like this big creative hub all of a sudden. Like if you go on Bandcamp, like every other artist is from Australia.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, and they've got like this budding independent film industry.
We got Malaysia, Italy, Saudi Arabia, Japan, Morocco, Russia, Philippines, Thailand, Netherlands, South Korea.
Austin. South Korea? What about North Korea?
I know. Why not?
we're probably blacklisted in North Korea also. Those rotoscopers are fun. They must be banned from this country.
Poland, Sweden, Vietnam, and Denmark. The top 25 places.
I like how you read all those countries in like a Danish accent. Oh, North Korea, yeah.
Well, most of them were in that little area, so.
Mason, when are we going to get you on YouTube?
That's why I was going to ask. I think I just need like a backdrop. I can just sit on my couch.
Because you could even like do the videos yourself, or we could do just
how do
split
I record
screen.
Video? I'm just kidding. That really is amazing. I don't get to speak Spanish to anyone.
Neither do I. And then I'm like, everyone's like, Morgan, do a Spanish video, and I'm like, I haven't spoken Spanish in like 2 years. You guys are all gonna make fun of me.
I'm telling you, if people won't mind my snobby Argentine accent, I really want to do. Like maybe the 12 principles of animation, but like say them in Spanish.
Oh yeah.
Or even do reviews in Spanish.
I'm down.
Do it.
I know that South America bootlegs everything, and they get DVDs before we do.
Oh my.
This is
at least they did in Buenos Aires.
No, this Brazil, same thing.
I'll do like a Telemundo version. Este martes, las grandes noticias de animación.
Do it. Like, I'm so a fan of that.
The awkward silences all go away when it goes through Chelsea editing magic.
So, yeah, you guys owe me.
I know. Like,
we're gonna realize that I still keep all of the episodes.
Okay. Oh, all the uncut episodes. And they usually go on the end of year episodes where...
Yeah. I think you'll enjoy my after editing effects on that interview.
I always do, Chelsea.
There's some really funny moments. Like, he gets a little potty mouth, and yeah, you'll enjoy what I did with it.
Do you do like a toilet flushing sound, or do you like censor
that would,
it? You
look, that would be really funny. Okay, I'll spoil it just for you guys. I actually threw in the thunder tube right there.
Oh, I love it.
So oh my gosh.
Girl Alex, do you know about the thunder tube?
Someone please enlighten me on the thunder tube.
Well, it was first introduced on our Nightmare Before Christmas episode.
Mm-hmm.
To be dramatic, I think.
Yeah.
Or was it the one before it?
It was Nightmare Before Christmas, I believe.
Yeah, but it's just like this like this like toy that like you hit one end of it and it makes like a thunder noise. But Chelsea would do it like at the least expected moments.
That's fantastic.
But there was one episode like recently where we'd gone like 5 episodes without the thunder tube. And then he just boom in the middle of it. I lose it every time. I don't know why.
So on the best of 2013, can we do a compilation of all the times the Thunder Tube?
Yes. I've been listening to episodes and marking the time whenever the Thunder Tube came around.
Oh,
so,
thank you so much.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I need to update
it. We didn't see a lot of it at the latter end of this year, but every once in a while, Chelsea would just bring it out.
I know, it was great.
When I least expected it.
Meet the Thunder Tube.
Wow. And that, folks, is why for the next 2 weeks we're going to have a charity drive for Chelsea so that she can pay the chiropractor to fix her rib that she broke when she was coughing.
Oh, man.
We'll be on the line all 2 weeks.
If you call in the next 20 minutes.
You receive a free Mason plush.
Ooh, we're going to get lots of calls now.
With the bells in the background. Ding, 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 ding. We just had a $100 donor.
Yay!
You get 10 minutes more of the flash.
Yes, instead of a bell, it's the thunder tube for us. Of how could we forget?
All right, Morgan, think of your superpower. I'll take Chelsea. Pablo, you give Morgan her name.
Excellent.
Okay, Chelsea, what's your superpower?
My superpower would be to understand every language.
To understand... Every language. Hmm. Well, your superhero woman name would be Rosita Stone. The Thunder Tube. Get it, Rosita Stone. Rosetta Stone?
Okay, you get another one just for that.
I've been thunder tubed.
You got thunder tubed twice.
I know, 3 times and you're out. Let's see.
I actually did like that. That's nice.
There you go.
Yeah, I thought it was excellent.
All right, Morgan, what's yours?
Okay, so my powers, are you guys ready?
Yep. You can only have like 1 or 2 powers, and they have to be related.
It's only
one. You can't have all the powers.
Well, my powers are referred to as the powers of womanly persuasion.
Oh.
Interesting.
You can't take Sedusa. That's from the Powerpuff Girls.
Powerpuff Girls.
And at the end of the episode, it was actually the guy who talks like this.
The very scary guy?
The very scary composite Santa Claus lobster vampire. Can't tell if it's a man or a woman thing.
Yep, I remember him. I'm traumatized by him. Oh, I don't know. Help me out, guys.
Have you stumped, huh?
Yep.
Well,
okay. I've got a couple, but they're not very nice.
Not podcast appropriate.
Oh, no, they're appropriate. Okay, here's how the scene would go. Gee willikers, Batman, what are we going to do now? I'm not quite sure, Robin. We men are helpless against the old nag. Bam, bam, bam!
I'll take what I can get.
The old nag.
Oh, peace out.
Next email is from Esther. It says, hey, Rotoscopers, what's up? I'm enjoying the podcasts that keep coming throughout the summer. Summer, oh my gosh, this was really old. I'm so sorry, Esther. Thanks to you, my morning commute has gotten a little more fun. Sorry you guys couldn't go to Comic-Con. Someday in the future, Rotoscopers will host an exclusive convention just for animation lovers, and you three will have an elite panel for Q&A. Aw, thanks. I hope that's true. In the meantime, if you don't have a billion things to do, I wanted to share some great animation music videos I found online. The first one is called What Makes You Beautiful. Not for those who cannot stand One Direction, but otherwise very cute. The next one is called Girlfriend, which says check out the synchronized lyrics. And the last one is called Non-Disney Villains. It's very scary, but awesome. Maybe you three could share some of your favorite animated music videos on the website. Or do you need to ask permission from people on YouTube before you post their animated music videos? Have a great week, Esther. Thank you, Esther. I am going to post those three videos in the show notes so everyone can check them out. I actually don't have any favorite animated music videos, but I will start researching them, and I think that's a really good idea to do a post about that, so hopefully we can do that in the next little bit. Our next email is from Abraham. He says, hi, Rotoscopers. Love your podcast. Big fan. Met you through Hypeable. I'm a big Studio Ghibli fan, and I would love to hear your thoughts on Nausicaa, Kiki's Delivery Service, Princess Mononoke, My Neighbor Totoro, and The Grave of the Fireflies. I fell in love with French animation, so thanks to Persepolis, which would be a great episode for your podcast if you want to try a different style of animation. Other French director I like is Michael Ocelot. I know him first around from Kirikou and the Sorcerer, but he has some awesome films such as Princes and Princesses, Azur and Asmar, and a sequel for Kirikou. I would definitely recommend these films to you guys because the director has a unique style of storytelling. Anyway, thank you for the amazing podcast. Keep up the great work. Greetings from Mexico, Abraham. Thanks, Abraham. So definitely next year we are going to be trying to get a few more Studio Ghibli films on the podcast. So definitely, there's high demand for those, so we're going to be doing those. And then also, I love your recommendations for French animation. That's something that we haven't done too much of. Persepolis, I remember seeing that and loving that movie. And then I know Chelsea and I are planning on doing Monster in Paris when it's just a Morgan Chelsea episode, like Mason is busy or can't make it, then that's one of the ones that we have that we are going to do. So get ready for that, and I'll be sure to check out these other films. This next email is from Gemma, and I'm going to do my best Gemma impression. Hi, guys! I'm just emailing to say that I was a bit horrified that I wasn't able to record a voicemail for your Corpse Bride episode. I had a feeling it was going to win in the poll, so I was prepping to get a voicemail ready today, but with this film, I just had to talk about it. So I have history with this film. I saw an advert for it when I was 12 years old. I got the DVD, and for an entire month, I watched it on loop. I'm not exaggerating. I watched it multiple times, every day, for a straight month. It was the only thing I did that summer. I memorized the entire film right down to the shot lengths. It's safe to say that this film changed my life. It introduced me to Tim Burton and Danny Elfman and Helena Bonham Carter. It made me take playing the piano seriously. Been learning that piano solo for 7 years now. It made me pay attention to film scores. It made me love stop-motion animation. It made me love weddings. It made me love the Victorian era. It made me a total hopeless romantic. It certainly shaped who I am and made me the person I am today. So it will always have a very, very special place in my heart. And looking back, yeah, it's not the greatest thing ever. But I can't bring myself to dislike it. I haven't seen the film in 4 years for obvious reasons. I actually still get a bit uncomfortable when I see things about it. I guess it's just the after effect of being so embarrassed that I was so obsessed with this film. But after listening to your very entertaining episode on it, you made me want to watch it again. I should have watched it on Halloween, but I plan to watch other things. Anyway, thanks for the great episode, and I'm glad you enjoyed the film. Thanks, Gemma Clark. Thanks, Gemma. Yeah, that was definitely a surprise hit for us. A lot of people really love that film, The Corpse Bride, and that was definitely one that one out in our poll, and that's what we did for our Halloween episode. And no wonder, because it's very underappreciated. And, you know, I feel so bad because stop motion films, they sort of get the short end of the stick. For some reason, audiences just aren't as drawn to them as they are the other films, and they just don't do as well as I think they deserve. So that's why I like going back and reviewing these films and love hearing your thoughts on these films. I love reading these emails about different movies that we've covered or that are going to cover, send us your voicemails, whatever, because it's fun to see how those movies have impacted your lives.
Yeah, I love it. This comes back to the origin story for The Corpse Bride, which is a Jewish folk tale in the which pretty much the same thing happens. A groom-to-be is playing around, practicing his vows in the forest, and he puts the ring on the twig, thinking it was a twig, and it was actually the woman. Against his will, he's married to a corpse. In the original Jewish tale, I think all he has to do to get rid of her is perform a proper Jewish divorce ceremony, which, I don't know, is that hard?
I don't know
anything about that.
Usually these like folk stories are told to children, you know, so you can learn something out of them. So why does this one exist? It's like, if you ever get in a bad marriage, just do the divorce the right way and everything's okay.
Don't go throwing your wedding rings around, because you never know if the twig you put it on is actually a corpse.
Dude, that's so funny, though, because, hey, you know the dead guy where he's like, he's cut in half? You guys know what I'm talking about?
No.
When he's downstairs.
The guy who's cut, yeah, the guy who's cut in half.
Yeah, there's a guy who's like cut straight down the middle. And it's actually a Jewish tradition that you would make a promise with somebody, and what they would do is they would like cut a calf straight down the middle, and then they would walk through the two sides, like walk through the two pieces. And it's kind of like a symbolic way of saying, may this and much more happen to me if I break my deal with you. So this guy was a deal breaker. That's all I'm saying.
Holy cow, that's morbid.
You know, I expect nothing less from Scriptoria number one. That's our old joke from Sunday school. She always like threw out these like Bible stories, and we all looked at her like, how do you know this? You're like 12.
Are you a spy?
And so she became dubbed Scriptoria number one, and I wanted to be like Chelsea, so I dubbed myself her assistant and her apprentice, Scriptoria number two.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Oh, it's good. It's good.
Speaking of character designs, I liked how each one of the parents were very opposite. So yeah. Victoria's parents, you know, the mom is very, she's very up and down, like, but it looks like a really squished oval. And then her dad is like just very round. But then you look at Victor's parents, and they have like the triangle thing going. Like his mom has like an upside down triangle, and then the dad has his head is shaped like a facing up triangle. I just thought it was kind of cool. But then, you know, both kids happen to come out proportionally well. So that was, you know, kind of interesting.
Well, no. This is something I've been thinking about. All children, for the most part, come out proportionally well. They have, you know, normal size noses. But when things start getting exaggerated is once you, like, hit your 40s. That's when, like, your chin, like, triples in size, or your nose becomes huge. Like, just think about it. Like, their features just go wonky.
Except Madonna. So, yeah, and I don't know if this is just Tim Burton or if this is Laika or what, but what is it with Laika and large, busty women? Why?
Maybe they're easier to animate?
I don't know.
It's just off-putting.
Honestly, you would think that a small busted woman would be easier to animate. Not as much jiggling.
Yikes. Studio jiggling.
This next email is from Michael. He says, hey, Rotoscopers, I'm Michael Pinto Blue Jay at the Disney Kid on Twitter. I just got through listening to episode one of your podcast. I have never listened to one until now, and I've got to say, I think you guys are very entertaining. I wanted to share some thoughts on Beauty and the Beast. It's not my favorite canon-wise, but it's still great. It ranks about 8th or 7th on my ranking the Disney canon list. It is a very enjoyable film with great characters, a great plot, great animation, and great songs. I think Belle is very headstrong and interesting protagonist. The Beast is a great counterpart to Belle and serves the movie a great purpose. The side characters are also fantastic as well. Lumiere and Cogsworth's constant bickering is both well-written and funny. Mrs. Pott and Chip's relationship is the basic mother-son relationship, but you still get reeled into the characters. The songs are timeless. Beauty and the Beast, Belle, Something There, and Be Our Guest are all classic. Overall, this film is near perfection. It's not my favorite, but honestly, it's right up there with some of the best of all time. Thank you, Michael. I completely agree. That Beauty and the Beast episode is one of my favorite episodes. I think right away we have great chemistry and we're goofy and we're fun and we're just talking about the movies that we love. And Beauty and the Beast is definitely, I agree with you, one of the greatest animated films of all time.
Hi, everybody. My name is Susanna, I'm 18 years old, and I'm from Germany, and I've been a huge fan of the Rotoscopers since last summer. I'm checking your website daily, and I love listening to your episodes of the podcast, and yeah, I just love your in-depth discussions, especially because I don't really have any friends who are as passionate about animation as I am, and yeah, some of my favorite episodes are Spirited Away and Howl's Moving Castle, because I'm a huge Ghibli fan, and I'd love it if you could make more Ghibli episodes. And of course, I love The Little Mermaid and the Tangled episode, and yeah, some other the Disney canon. And then I also really love the Toy Story episode, because I could see that you could just quote the whole movie, and it was really funny, and I also loved the singing at the end of Swan Princess, which just, that was great. The idea to record a voicemail came to me when I listened to your Snow White episode. And as I said, I'm from Germany, and I just had to let out my inner Hermione and tell me that it's actually pronounced Schneewittchen. The full name would be Schneewittchen und die Sieben Zwerge. Yeah, so thanks for everything, and keep on the good work. Bye!
Okay, you sound a lot better. Just remember to keep it, like, low and tight with the microphone. Like, just I'm assuming you're just using your PC microphone.
You're right, yes.
Okay, that's how we did it the first couple of years.
Back when you were inexperienced.
Yeah. back when we only had 5 fans. Instead of 5,000, and we're a media empire now.
Are you serious?
Did you do like a random intro for the Kevin Trek interview?
Yeah.
Okay. But you and I talk afterwards and we're like, wow, that was so cool.
Right, right.
We've had a few like first time interviews on the podcast, and they're always worried that they sounded like doofuses or doofy, which is the Latin derivative. But they really don't. If anyone acts like a doofus, it's the hosts, because we're like, oh, golly, a real animator, you know? Let's see. I'm looking on Twitter because I'm now on Twitter.
Hey, hey, hey. Has it taken over your life yet?
Yeah, I guess.
And then we also got another tweet from one of the other. He's an effects animator on Frozen. The website put out a story about the new dolls, Anna and Elsa, Frozen doll set.
Yeah.
And he replied to it, and he's like, I want to see Morgan and Chelsea cosplay as these dolls in a big cardboard box at D23 Expo.
That's funny.
I was like, that would be hilarious.
That's cool.
Yeah, and I told him, I was like, well, if they really want us to, we would totally be up for doing it if they invited us to the premiere. So,
ooh.
Hint, hint to anybody with pull at
quid
Disney.
Pro quo.
Invite us to the premiere, please.
And don't forget about Mason.
And Mason
yeah.
as well.
I'll dress up as, who's the reindeer?
Sven.
Yeah, Sven. Sven. Sven is such a cool name.
Sven. People got mad at us on YouTube for saying it wrong. I'm like, I'm sorry, people.
It's like, oh, do you know the Rotoscopers? We have a history of getting names wrong.
Exactly.
Well, when no one's saying it, but all you're doing is reading it on the internet, then yeah.
Well, and English is so well known for not being able to pronounce words. So, you know, go with it.
My personal belief is that the British don't know how to pronounce words. I'm just kidding. Don't put that
it's all their fault.
it's all the Canadians' fault. Anyway.
Yeah, so I'll be moving to Nashville soon. Yay.
Woo!
Nashville, huh?
Yep. I'm going even further down south than you, honey.
Well, I live in the live music capital of the world, and you live in the country music capital of the world.
There
you go. You're cheating. I still think we need to form a Rotoscopers band.
That should be really fun.
I'll play the violin.
I play harmonica and jug and laundry scraper.
Oh, no, I want that. I played that at Disneyland. They, like, pulled me aside. They're like, you want to play in the band? I'm like, oh, yes.
Yes, don't, I do.
Don't touch me. Oh, you're so sad. How about a big hug from Lester?
Fight it, doofus.
Oh, they need a Lester in the parks just so I could do that.
I mean, I don't know if people care, but basically starting from mid-December till now, like, I had to do finals at BYU, got married.
Hey!
Dude, I totally got married, and it's awesome. Super, super freaking happy. We had the ceremony, and then we went on a honeymoon, and then we had the reception, and then Christmas, of course. And then we actually had to fly up to Utah and drive down to Texas because I actually transferred to another school. most of our fans on Facebook probably know because we put up an announcement, but at the end of fall, I got accepted into the visualization program at Texas A&M.
Hey!
So I'm an Aggie now.
Whoop!
I saw the opportunity to be in this undergraduate program. I actually heard about it from my girlfriend, who is now my wife. But anyway, this is a really long story, but yeah, I've moved, I'm in a new school, I am still studying animation and stuff that I love, so it's really fun to kind of be in this new stage of my life, and I'm really excited about it. Dude, I don't know. It's like good thing overload. I made all A's at BYU, by the way. I have like a 3.9, so I'm super excited.
Well, I can't wait to hear your adventures as they progress. And I'm sure, like, our listeners will be very interested. So you're expected and required to do well for the sake of the podcast.
All right. Next email is from Ariane. She says, Dear Rotoscopers, I discovered your podcast several weeks ago and listened to almost every episode. The remaining episodes are on my to-do list after I have seen the movies. Yesterday, I watched The Thief and the Cobbler, Miramax version, unfortunately, followed by the corresponding podcast in which you mentioned the documentary Persistence of Vision. However, I cannot find it anywhere online. YouTube only features trailers about the documentary, and there is no DVD available through the official Facebook page or other channels. My question is, if you know how I could watch this documentary, because I really want to see it. I live in Netherlands, but some U.S. streaming services are available to me. Keep up the great work. Your podcast really makes my day. Love, Arian. Thank you, Arian. And right now, there isn't any way to watch the documentary, unfortunately. The director sent us a link to watch it and obviously told us not to spread it or share it with anyone, because then, you know, it spreads like wildfire. And, I know one reason it wasn't released yet is because he was still sort of making rounds in different animation and film festivals. So I will email him and find out, but as of right now, there's no way. But I will be sure to let everyone know on the website, rotoscopers.com, if it ever becomes available, because it's fantastic. Next email comes from Annabelle. Hey guys, my name is Annabelle. It's like the guy version of Annabelle. It's Mexican. Anyways, I love your show. It is the best podcast I've heard in a long time, and I enjoy all of your episodes. But here's something that caught me off guard in the animation world, and I think it's something very special. I stumbled across this short film on YouTube, and let me say, this video has entered my heart on such a deep level that I cannot stress how much this film has inspired me right now. I know it's bold to say, but I think I like this 3-minute short better than any Pixar film out there. I know, right? The song, the message, and the characters are in something that is real and happening today with GMO and big food industries. And when you get the right ingredients like the ones that make this film, you have something great that people will remember for a long time. I hope you enjoy this as much as I did, and I hope it inspires you as much as it has done me. So Anibal is referring to the short, The Scarecrow. This is something that we covered this past year on the rotoscopers.com. I'll include a link to that. It also includes a link where you can watch the video. So this was a short done by Moonbot Studios, which is just an animation studio that does commercials and different things. And they did this for Chipotle.
It's set to a song from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And it really shows what it's like in the food industry today, how everything's just compartmentalized and a lot of animals aren't really given the treatment that, you know, animals should have. And it's really awesome. It was actually one of the ones that was nominated for our best shorts for the Rotoscopers Awards. And I think it's really fantastic. So check out The Scarecrow and let me know in the show notes what you think about it. All right, our next email is from David. He says, hello. I feel I just have to introduce myself. Hi, I am David. I run a small animation studio called Theory Animation. It's a collection of animators I've met over the years who have all decided to make our own cartoons. Many of us have worked for all the other studios. I'm more in visual effects and games, and thought it would be grand to make our own cartoons. I just wanted to say hello, as the other day I tweeted to you about our latest short, Ray and Clovis. Thanks for retweeting that. It means a lot as a listener turned creator, but I'm still a listener. It's a small series that we're making, and you can see them all here. Have a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, David. Thanks, David. And you guys should definitely check out this short, Ray and Clovis. It's really cute. And then the new series, I will include those links in the show notes.
That's going to be my 12 animated days of Christmas article. I'm going to make up like the worst animated Christmas specials that there could ever be.
Oh, please put Hobbit animated Christmas special.
Oh, not, where Smeagol's like,
what do you get a Hobbit for Christmas?
Elves. But do Tolkien elves celebrate Christmas?
How do you spell that?
Oh, the Hobbit Christmas special. That'd be awesome. Let me take it over.
Well, I'm going to for the get off. I have Camtasia so I can record what happens on the screen. So we should like record like a script fight going on. Yeah. Okay, this is my half of the script. This is your half of the script. See all these underscores? That's the line. You do not cross this line.
Oh, awesome.
Tie up. I think there's a delay.
Oh, sorry.
Otherwise, I wasn't trying to interrupt you. I think I was
talking.
Oh, no,
it was a delay. And then
hey, oh, shut up!
Excuse me, I need to finish this. People need to know. Oh, okay.
That's okay, Morgan. I know. Okay.
It's going to get
sure
cut.
I'm sure must have been really frustrated.
It's going to get cut anyway.
Hey!
No, that's a blooper. Or maybe no. Best of.
Mason, one more interruption like that and you are out of here. I'm a kind, compassionate person with a heart as big as a lion. You need to watch Kicking and Screaming with Will Ferrell. But anyway, yeah, for some reason it was like,
I'm sorry, sir, there appears to be a server error.
And then his assistant was like, I was like, guys, we get out of here.
Modern day technology.
Sorry, we are delayed right now. Try talking to me.
I said it might be my internet connection because I'm kind of pirating it right now. Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me.
You just broke out when you were saying that. That was funny.
I like when he's like looking up at the moon. He's like, why did you send me here? Blah, blah, blah. It's all my fault. Blah, blah, blah. I wanted Mufasa to come out and be like, remember who you are. You are my son, the one and true king. And Jack's like, Mufasa, you got the wrong movie.
Well, there's a Simpsons episode about that.
There
Lisa's,
is?
Lisa's talking to the sax man and he dies.
Oh,
and,
yeah, yeah.
And he's talking to him in like the clouds and then Mufasa comes right up next to him. He's like, remember who you are, Lisa. And then it's from Star Wars?
Yeah, it's Darth Vader.
David Earl Jones.
I am your father, because it's the same guy who does the voice.
Oh, yeah. All three of those. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and he was like, no, get your own movie. Get your own cartoon. Like, we're sorry. They just disappear.
That's awesome.
Oh, Simpsons Marathon. It is happening.
That's a great one. Oh.
Okay, so our next email is from Stephanie. She says, do you have a list on the site or suggestions for books on the history of animation? And that's actually a hard one. I've looked Since I got this email, I sort of did a little bit of research. Honestly, there isn't really like a go-to source that I know of regarding the history of animation. There are a few books on the subject. I took a history of animation class in college, and it was honestly one of the best classes I've ever taken. If anyone's that goes to BYU, take it. Darryl Larson is the professor, and he's incredible. It just helped me understand the medium and its origins so much more. And I'm sure history of animation is just a basic class at any animation program. So if you have access to it, take one. But again, that professor, Darryl, he mentioned that he was going to be working on a history of animation book. So I emailed him, and he says that he hasn't had time to release it yet. He's also a big Monty Python fan, and he's released about 3 or 4 books since I took that class. So he's kind of been focusing on that. But I am just waiting for this book to come out. Hopefully it'll be in the next few years, which is unfortunate. But I know when he puts it out, it's going to be fantastic. So if that ever comes out, I'll definitely keep you informed. But in the meantime, one book that I think is really good is Of Mice and Magic. Now, this is the book that we used in my History of Animation class. It's a bit old. It has been updated in a while, since the 90s, I believe, but great resource. The author is a very famous animation historian, so that is a book that you want to check out, Of Mice and Magic, and I'll include it in the show notes. Another book, this is a newer book about the history of animation. Personally, I haven't read it, but it looks really good, and it's obviously newer, so it's more up-to-date. It's called The World History of Animation, and I thought that's definitely one that would be worth your time. This isn't, I guess another site is, we've mentioned them in the past, traditionalanimation.com, or you can find them on Facebook, facebook.com/traditionalanimation. They are a fantastic resource for 2D animation, and every day, multiple times a day on their Facebook page, they post different concept models or character designs and sheets, and it's really cool to see those and kind of learn a little bit about each film, and there's no rhyme or reason to which film they post, they just post them, but so definitely check out those two books, and if I find anything else, I will let you know, and I will try to get a animation history resource page, hopefully on the site. Our next email is from MB. Dear fellow animation addicts, I was wondering if you could do a review of Disney's Oliver and Company. It's been 25 years since its debut, and it had always been a pretty underappreciated film. It may not measure up to movies during the company's renaissance, but at the same time has some real significance in Disney history. There were a lot of positive firsts, like being the first to have its own CGI department and make great use of technology, and some more controversial ones, like product placement. Another trend, starring music celebrities who are new to acting, can be seen there. I would love to see your thoughts on these things. Thanks, MB. Well, thank you, MB. I love your initials. Those are part of my initials, too. I love Oliver and Company. I haven't seen it in a long time. Georgette is fabulous. Oliver and Penny are... Jenny, right? Penny is in Rescuers. Jenny is in Oliver and Company. And I just saw the musical Oliver. It really sort of brought back my love for Charles Dickens. This was an interesting film that Disney did, basing it sort of off this very well-known book, and then turning it into animals and their stories about cats and dogs, and it's very awesome. So that's definitely a good one that we will put on the list. All right, our next email is from Jarlett. Says, there seems to be work for a Wicked as a Disney animated film. There are many new character designs, and he includes a link. Also, a storyboard claiming to be a Disney storyboard that shows one of the songs of Wicked. I would love to read your guys' opinion on the site. Thanks. Those actually aren't official Disney storyboards or the animatic. It's actually an artist who works at Disney, Minkyu Lee. You may know from Adam and Dog, the short which was nominated in 2012. But it's just sort of a personal project, just fun seeing what's going on, how the characters would look if they were 2D animated. And then the animatic of Defying Gravity, that's from a different artist just saying, hey, if I was involved in making an animated version, this is how I would do it. But those are just two separate projects of Wicked fans who happen to be artistically inclined sharing their love about it. So I know that there is a live-action version of Wicked in place, but unfortunately not animated.
Germany would be really cool, and European animation is a big deal, and there's a ton of talent out of there. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it would be good for me, because, I mean, what do I do with my wife, you know, and then the expenses and stuff. But
is there, like, a company there that you work with? I'm really confused. I didn't realize that Germany was...
I think you go to an art school over there, and you work on some production stuff for animation.
Interesting. Well, I learn something new every day. I didn't realize. I mean, because I've heard of things done in Ireland. I've heard of things done in London. I've heard of things like in, you know, other different countries. But I've never really heard that Germany was a big mecca.
Right.
See,
right.
I'd like to intern in Korea, where all the where they outsource all the animation for Disney tunes.
Right. Right.
I'd like to get their perspective.
Have you seen the King of the Hill rule book?
I went to the King of the Hill archives at Texas State last summer,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of the notes are the production crew like having problems with the outsourced animators.
Right. I thought that was really interesting.
You really ought to take a trip over there and check it out, because if you wanna look at like the production side of like a serial animated series like King of the mm-hmm. Hill, that, you know, so important to Texas culture, then you ought to check it out. They're really nice. They'll just let you go in and check it out.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I loved it because it was like characters never drink with their eyes closed. They never laugh with their eyes closed. Like it can get very specific.
Oh yeah. I thought when they cry, like the tears don't go out to the side like a fountain. Like they're just like really small and they like just trickle down their face, like just real small things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, King of the Hill definitely leans towards realism. Mm-hmm. What a lovely tangent we've just been on.
Hey Rotoscopers, this is Davis of the Pop Culture Social Club. Honestly, my favorite part of 2013, and I know this may sound like it's needlessly stroking your egos, but my favorite part of 2013 was discovering your site and your podcast. See, I was looking for some more Disney in my life, and while y'all don't talk exclusively about the company, y'all talk about it enough that it scratches that itch, so to speak. And it was a lot of fun seeing y'all get as excited about Frozen as I was about Frozen. So, y'all have a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and here's 2014. Oh, and always, always, more princesses.
All right, next email is from Shelby. Hey guys, I loved your episode on Frozen, and seriously, your idea that Rapunzel went to Arendelle to establish a frying pan trade is my new Disney headcanon. I will see it no other way now. And there should definitely be a Disney Princess Avengers film. That would be amazing, and I would pay to see that. Anyways, I wanted to share my thoughts on Frozen. First, I want to say that I loved it. My fiancé and I really enjoyed this film, and it reminded me of why we're taking the time to go see all the new animated films that come out. We've done this ever since we started dating. The first movie we saw together was an animated movie. It was Monsters vs. Aliens. Yeah, I know, right? That one. Why? We only saw that because he didn't want to take me to see. He's just not that into you. Well, you know what, Shelby? I think that was a good choice. He thought it sent the wrong message. Even better choice. But seeing that established how we both adored animated films. We're animated movie nerds, and Frozen met all of our expectations. We were enthralled. We definitely didn't see the twist coming. The gasps of shocks and disgust were so loud in our theater. My jaw dropped. Slow clap for Disney plot twist genius. On to the music. I loved all the songs except In Summer. As quirky and as cute as it was, I really didn't think it was worth the amount of time it took away from the main plot. Let It Go is by far my favorite song, followed by Do You Want to Build a Snowman. That song made me cry, and I wasn't the only adult in the theater shedding tears. One thing you didn't mention was how great Kristen Bell's voice acting was. I had no idea she could sing. That was a pleasant surprise for me. I think the pacing of the film was off, and that was discussed a bit in the episode. But I think all in all, it was a pretty solid movie. For me, it gets 4.5 stars. It doesn't quite beat Tangled. I give it 5 stars, thanks in part to Zachary Levi's work as Flynn, but it's definitely going to remain one of my all-time favorites. I can't wait to see what they put on the Blu-ray special features. Thanks for being awesome and giving everyone the chance to get excited about Frozen throughout November. Oh wait, excuse me, Frozember. Shelby. Thank you, Shelby, and thank you for writing your opinion on Frozen. I definitely agree with your 4.5 stars. And that it's just a little slightly below Tangled. Glad you liked the episode. And Frozember, it seems that Frozember was a hit. I loved Frozember, thought it was fantastic, and I can't wait to see what this next year brings. All right, next one is from Thomas. He says, hey guys, quick question, or possibly Nerdy Couch discussion question. What do you guys think of animated movies being called cartoons by general audiences? I say this because I live in the UK, and the leading TV news station show in our country, the BBC, got to interview the directors of Frozen on their breakfast show. The presenters were so unaware of the art of animation and what value animators do, the presenter really seemed ignorant to the work that the two directors do. It made me really angry. Do you guys get equally grumpy when animated features are just seen as 2 hours that will keep the kids quiet? Thanks, Thomas. Yes, Thomas, I completely agree. I think that is one of the worst misconceptions about animation, that it's just kids' stuff. And I think that really stems from, you know, how animation was for adults in the 30s and 40s, and then slowly turned to Saturday morning cartoons and just a bit more juvenile in nature, and it's sort of stuck. It stayed that way. Obviously, there are independent artists and studios that do more adult animation and things, but for the most part, the general populace seems to think that it's just for kids. And it's very unfortunate about those co-hosts of that show, because I know if I were the directors of Frozen or any animated feature, I'm sure some of those interviews that they have to go through are a bit trivial and surface level, and as you said, insulting to the fact of how much work they're putting into this. Frozen is an incredible film, and just to trivialize it in the way that you make it seem that they did is very sad. So no, cartoons are not just for kids, they're for anyone, and animation is not necessarily cartoons. It's a cartoon, but it's not a cartoon in the sense of, you know, plop the kid in front of the couch and keep him quiet. And our last email is from Lindsay. Says, I just discovered your podcast and I'm in love with it. I was raised in a Disney-crazed family. Our family dog is named Disney. And I love all the Disney movies I grew up with in the 90s, Mulan being my absolute favorite. I would love you guys to talk about one of my favorite non-Disney animated films, Spirit, Stallion of the Cimarron. It's quite different from other animated movies in that the animals do not talk. The animators do an amazing job of conveying the thoughts and feelings of the horses and other animals through body movements and facial expressions. As an avid horse person, it's obvious to me the animators did the research into how horses move and express their feelings. The film has plenty of action, some romance, and an awesome Bryan Adams soundtrack. I highly recommend it. Keep up the great work. Sincerely, Lindsay. Thank you, Lindsay. That actually is one of the films that we have already in store for next year. So you know that we're going to be doing Cats Don't Dance. We're going to be doing The Lion King. And at some point, we are going to be doing Spirit, Stallion of the Cimarron. And I love that the animals don't talk in that film. I think that's what Walking with Dinosaurs could have and should have been. There shouldn't have been any voiceover. There shouldn't have been, I mean, mouths don't move. But I think Spirit is a very serious, more mature film for that, and I think that's why it's so fantastic. And I really would have liked to see Walking with Dinosaurs be that way, but it is what it is.
So, Chelsea, what are your final words? The only reason I'm doing this, Chelsea, is just because, like, I feel like we do the same thing at the end every time. It's like, plug, 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 plug. Right. So I think people probably think, I don't have to listen. So if we, like, plug it and then have like relevant conversation afterwards, just a little bit, I think it'll help.
So what will be relevant?
Just your final thoughts.
I don't know. We haven't done it yet.
No. Not final thoughts, but just like any last rants you want to say or last things you want to talk about.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Chelsea, if you want to be an actress and a singer, you have to be on your feet. Come up with these things.
I'm running a half marathon, and I get to listen to podcasts all the time and audiobooks and all these different things. So I'm getting ready for that, and I'm so excited to have so many audio options as I go running. I don't know. What am I going to say?
Don't give a plug, just talk. Okay, whatever, we'll just close it.
All right, everybody, this has been a great show. Thank you so much for your participation in it. We wouldn't be anywhere without you. Thank you so much for such a fantastic 2013.
Thanks, guys. Until next time, we are the Rotoscopers.